This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. I'm Rita Bittner. Today I'm speaking with Chris Wesley, Executive Director of Marathon Youth Ministry, which helps ministry leaders rediscover the joy in their work. He has served for more than 20 years in parish ministry in Baltimore, including at the Church of the Nativity in Timonium and St. Joseph's in Texas. That's his parish and where I met Chris when our sons were in school together, and we enjoy seeing him, his wife Kate, and their two sons at Mass. That's the whole family, except we'd like to give a shout out to their dog Yogi as well. Chris has a master's in pastoral theology, and he is the author of two books, Rebuilding Youth Ministry and Rebuilding Confirmation. He also serves as president of the board for a prison ministry, Uncuffed Ministries. During June, as we celebrate fathers, I thought it would be great to have Chris join us as a father and as someone who supports nurturing faith in families through his work. I'm excited to have him with us today. Chris, thank you so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Rita, it is my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you here. So, Chris, I thought maybe we could start by asking you to share a little about your faith journey and maybe about people who've helped you along the way and what led you to Marathon Youth Ministry.
Yeah, so I'm born and raised Catholic. My entire life, went through the sacraments. Really influential people in my faith were my parents, my grandparents, my uncles and aunts. Faith, especially on my mom's side, which is Italian American, there was just a lot of faith wrapped into the holidays and traditions there for sure. But I would say even though I grew up in the faith, I really didn't own it for myself until college. Had gone through a little bit of a rough patch in my adolescence, parents divorced and everything like that. But it was within college where I met a great Jesuit priest, Father Al Bischoff, who sadly enough passed away a year ago. But also a group of young adults back at home that we would do a retreat with. And through those retreats, encountered Christ and really accepted the faith in my own life. Never had the intentions of going into ministry full time. I wanted to be in electronic media, radio, television, film, but somehow ended up in ministry because after a year of doing the Jesuit Volunteer Corps, which landed me here in Baltimore, I needed a job. I was dating my wife, Kate, at the time. We, of course, weren't married. And I was like, I need to, make money to bring her out on these dates. And so fell into this middle school youth ministry job at Church of the Nativity. Thought I'd do it for a couple of years, but then felt the Lord's calling to say, no, you're going to do this as long as I want you to do it. Was doing great, but along the way, I just experienced new and different opportunities that allowed me to test the waters for coaching and consulting other youth ministers. And later became youth ministers in DREs and then parishes. And now today, Marathon Youth Ministry works with several dioceses throughout the country and organizations helping ministry leaders, as you said before, discover their joy in ministry. Because let's just face it, as joyful as ministry can be, it can also be pretty messy.
Sure, that I imagine. And I'm sure you have many stories of that. And we each could share stories about how messy our faith journeys are.
Definitely.
I loved hearing yours, which I'd not heard before. Tell us a little bit about the word marathon, because as you're talking, I'm thinking, how did you choose that? And how has your faith journey maybe been a little bit of a marathon?
Yeah, so I love running, Rita, but just like ministry, I had no intentions of ever running. In high school, if you asked me to run, I would have tried to bribe my way out of it or anything like that. But during my volunteer year, when we didn't have a lot of money, the one thing I could do was run for recreation. And I just got that runner's high and fell in love with it. The way that marathon, the term, correlates with ministry is the fact that too often we're trying to like sprint through it. We're trying to, force a round peg into a square hole and just do everything that we can, and we end up burning ourselves out. And if we're going to do the race, if we're going to do ministry for the long haul, like a marathon, then there's a lot of things that we have to do by taking it one step at a time, making sure we prepare ourselves, have the right gear, equipment. And not only that, but one of the things I love about running is the running community. And that's the same thing in ministry. If we don't have community around us and feel isolated, then it's a lot harder to reach our goals. And so there's a lot of correlation, a lot of similarities between how you prepare for a marathon and how you prepare for ministry for the long haul.
Oh, wow. I love that. And hearing you touch on community, you know, I want to hear from you about young people and how we can work with young people, how we can nurture that along. How is that something that you help your clients and the lay ministers you work with see the importance of community and how to build community for young people?
Yeah. So as I mentioned before, you know, my foundation was in youth ministry, and Marathon Youth Ministry, of course, is even though we work in different aspects of church life. And what I've found with what we're trying to do is equip the ministry leaders, the adults, not just the paid people, not just the paid professionals, but all the faithful, all the adults to accompany young people, you know, because we're called to walk alongside the young people. Back in 2019, when Pope Francis wrote Christus Vivit, he talked about the importance of accompaniment. And that's not just religious education or faith formation in the traditional sense. But that's walking along alongside young people as they grow in their faith journey. Mm. And so one of the things that Marathon does is equip those ministry leaders and those efforts so that we can do that in a long and sustainable manner.
Oh, wow. I love that. I feel like this is such a hopeful time for the church as we see young people really encountering faith and wanting to learn more about Catholicism. But you've been doing this work for years. So I'd love to hear, like, Do you feel that hope? Do you feel like there's a surge of hope? And what is giving you hope right now in your work and maybe has over the long haul, over your own marathon of work?
Yeah, you know, Rita, that's a great question because, you know, obviously when I started out in ministry, I was a young adult. And when I left ministry, I was and still am the parent of two teenage boys. And so my perception of ministry definitely changed. But I do agree that we are in this interesting season of hope where this past Easter, we saw so many people, not just here in Baltimore, but across the nation and re-enter or enter into the church, right? You see a lot of young people growing thirsty and hungry for the Catholic faith because there's just a lot of deep truth, solid truth that's happening there. And so there's a lot of hope and excitement there. But one of the things that has reigned true from when I first started out in ministry to where we are today is that churches have to offer three things to young people. It's a place of belonging. It's a place where they can discover their purpose. And it also has to be a place where they can form and shape their identity. And so that's what young people are searching for. That's what the research has told us over the years. And so while we see young people coming back to the church because they're interested in something bigger and larger than the world can ever offer, we have to ask ourselves, are we ready to receive them and walk with them? And not just them, but their parents as well.
Mm, I love that. I love those three things. As just an average person in the pews, what can I do to help bring those three things come to life? Like, what are things I can do as a member of the church?
Yeah, you know, it's a loaded question. And if we had like a lot of time, I'd dive into like the
really
five,
ten.
Yeah, I'd start consulting in that regards. But, you know, I think for any parishioner in the pews, they have to ask the question, this is the parish that I belong to warm and welcoming to young people? And really sit with that question. And if they can't answer that question and they struggle to, then, you know, consider that kind of a red flag of the fact that you're not sure what offerings and opportunities there are for young people. Because one of the things that we're learning nationally is the fact that while we're seeing more and more people come back to the church, that the investment in young people is not at is at an all-time low. In other words, we're finding that one in five pastors consider youth ministry as a top priority in their parishes. That less than 20% of the actually sorry less than 5% of the annual budget goes towards funding youth efforts, including salaries of youth ministers and everything like that. And that's not to say that everyone is on an equal playing field and that some churches aren't knocking it out of the park, for sure. But One of the things that I would like to challenge and encourage the faithful to do is ask that question: is my parish a welcoming and warm place for the next generation to discover and grow in their faith?
Oh, I love that. I love that. So we certainly pray for vocations to the priesthood and religious life, but and continue to, of course. But you've devoted your career, your life's work, to nurturing and building strong lay ministers. And I just love to hear from you the importance of that. And of course, those things are not in conflict. So I'd love to hear you talk a little about that. But why and how lay ministry and how they became your focus, and just why you feel so called to that right now.
Yeah, you know, Rita, I'll just be truly honest. There was a period in time where I was completely burnt out in ministry.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was when my boys were young. You know, I was figuring out a lot of stuff out. I didn't know how to navigate through some of the challenges that I was facing professionally and personally. And so, you know, burnout was a real thing. And that's something that we do see a lot with youth ministers or lay ministers in general, is some of the challenges that they face is not seeing ministry as a sustainable career. Where when I got involved, the idea of staying in ministry for 10 plus years was realistic. Today, most of Generation Z that's entering into ministry don't see a career past 3 years.
Wow.
And so there's a lot of things that we have to address systematically and structurally in order to change that. Because if we don't have dedicated men and women who are there to serve the next generation,
yeah,
then that turnover is going to lead to young people not finding those places of belonging and purpose and identity.
Sure.
And so with Marathon, we really provide a lot of coaching. We provide cohorts and content that focus primarily on human formation and pastoral formation to help that ministry leader really grow in his or her faith in that regards. Because here's the thing, as great as our clergy are, and as much as vocations might be growing, they can't do it alone. They need the in order for the church to fulfill her mission, we need the entire faithful engaged and involved. And I've always believed in, and I believe actually it's in canon law where it says that the role of the lay minister is to help the pastor or help the priest equip the faithful to do the job of the faithful. And so that's how I've always seen my role and as a lay minister. And that's what I would encourage other lay ministers, especially professional ecclesial lay ministers, to do in their parishes.
Our guest today is Chris Wesley, founder of Marathon Youth Ministries. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation. I'm Rita Bittner. You're listening to Catholic Review Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Catholics from across Maryland will have an opportunity this June to take part in the National Eucharistic Pilgrimage as it passes through the Archdiocese of Baltimore on its way from Florida up the east coast to Maine and then to Philadelphia as part of celebrations surrounding America's 250th anniversary. The pilgrimage, held under the theme One Nation Under God, will travel through the Archdiocese June 9th through the 11th with stops in Central Maryland, Baltimore, Severna Park, and Annapolis. Organizers say the pilgrimage is intended to renew devotion to Jesus Christ in the Eucharist through Masses, Eucharistic processions, adoration, and service projects. The Baltimore leg of the pilgrimage concludes June 11th with Mass at St. Mary's Parish in Annapolis before the Eucharist departs by boat from Annapolis to Kent Island en route to the Diocese of Wilmington. The National Eucharistic Pilgrimage is part of the broader National Eucharistic Revival taking place across the United States. The 2026 route is named for St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, the first American citizen to be canonized a saint. For a full schedule of events, visit archbalt.org, and you can find more at catholicreview.org. And in education news, Dr. Abigail Van Valera was named the 15th president of Notre Dame of Maryland University in Baltimore June 1st. She will begin her new role July 6th after Dr. Mary Lou Yam, the current president, retires June 30th. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. For everyone at Catholic Review Media, I'm Kevin Parks.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm Rita Bittner, and we're talking today with Chris Wesley, founder of Marathon Youth Ministries. We're discussing how we can support young people on their faith journeys. Chris, as we look ahead to Father's Day this month, I thought it would be neat maybe to reflect on some of the fathers and father figures who've been important to you and have helped you grow in your faith.
Yeah.
Where some have come to mind. I mean, you mentioned a Jesuit priest, maybe there are others.
Yeah, I mean, definitely had great family role models in faith. My dad, my mom's dad, my grandfather there, two of my uncles, one who is my godfather, and one who was my confirmation sponsor, just really heavily involved in my faith life. So always had these good men to talk to about faith. But yeah, in college, went to Xavier University, go Musketeers. I'll never forget meeting Father B for the first time. And the way he and I built a relationship is there was one early morning. I won't tell you if I was just up early or coming back from someplace late, but I was walking back to the dorm and he was sitting outside on the bench and he said, "Hey, good morning, Saint. How are you doing?" And I didn't feel judged. I didn't feel evaluated. I felt warmly greeted by this priest who was calling me Saint. And, you know, I said, "I'm doing well," and walked back in. And then I noticed over time that he would constantly call not just me, but my peers, my classmates, Saint. And so one day I just decided to sit down with him and I asked him after Mass, like, "Hey, can we just chat?" And I asked him, I was like, "Father B, why do you call everyone Saint?" And he's just like, "Well, because I see the sainthood in everyone. And secondly, I can't remember a freaking name to save my life," right? And so I thought, this guy is funny. He's cool. And so I asked him if, you know, every so often we could grab a bite to eat or a cup of coffee and just talk about life. And so he came kind of a accidental spiritual director slash mentor in my life, who I stayed in touch with after college and everything. And just always, he epitomized that term, accountability, right? Accompaniment, in regards to how he walked with me. So he was definitely good. And then, you know, when I got into parish ministry, there was a lot of good men and women, but good men who surrounded me as, you know, they were probably old enough to be my father or several years older than me, that were really great at helping me as I raised my family, as I got married, especially living hours away from family here in Baltimore.
Right. Oh, yeah. I love that. That's really a beautiful thing about. I'd like to talk a little bit about what we can do as parents and to inspire the faith in our young people, recognizing that both of us are probably just like, you know, seat of the pants, like hoping for the best, leaning in hard on the Holy Spirit. And so no expertise, probably, at least on my end, but I would still like to have the conversation, because I think that parents talking about being parents does really help all of us a little bit.
Yeah.
So what are some thoughts you have around what parents and even just other Catholic adults who are trying to help inspire faith in others, what can we do to strengthen the faith in young people?
Yeah. So first off, to all the parents out there, especially dads, don't worry if you mess up or get it wrong. Even as a professional church person, I have messed up, you know, more times than not, wondered if I've done more hurt and damage with my kids' faith than help. Cause it gets personal, right? There's times where, we want our kids, our young people, to embrace something that's important to us. We just maybe don't have the language to articulate it. Right. And so what I would say is stumble through it, find your way through it. Don't hide from it, but share it in any way possible. And when you don't have the words or the phrases for it, surround yourself with men and women who can do that with you and for you, with you and for you, for you. I mean, that's, again, the role of where the local parish can help you out, whether it's the DRE or the youth minister or the pastor or seminarians, whoever's there, utilize those resources as well. But also invite other faith-filled men and women into your family's life that can speak to the faith. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned before, Rita, Kate and I were from out of town. We're not from Baltimore. And so for us, it was really important for us to find a family here in Baltimore. And so basically what we did was find men and women who of all different ages who held their Catholicism as an important value and invited them into our lives. Some of them are the godparents of our sons. One's the sponsor for my oldest son, Matthew, who was confirmed a couple of years ago. And so I found that the more we can surround them with a faith-filled community, the more likely they are going to stay connected to the church. And so for me, that's just as important as any kind of factoid or piece of truth or knowledge that I can pass on to them, is to make sure that they feel community within the church.
I love that. And it makes me think back to what you shared about how it was your uncles who inspired you and this priest you met on campus and, just coming home from, or going out on an early morning run or whatever you were doing. But I love that sense that we're not in it alone. We certainly are the primary people, but there is a whole community we can build to surround our children and help them grow and explore their faith.
Yeah. Well, and I'll add to that too, Rita. Like, if you don't know where to find that in your parish, that's where I would go to your pastor, to your priest, and just say, like, where is there community for other parents? Not classes, not courses, but other community or places for me to meet with other parents. Because I think, I don't know. I mean, you and I both have kids around the same age. Isn't that the thing that we kind of crave sometimes as parents is a trusted community too?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's so true. That's so true. And whether it's the text chain with the other moms, like, is this okay? Is this normal? Does your child this? So all of that. But that's a great point to seek that out in your church, and if it's not there, to ask for it. I love that. One of the things I've found surprising, but also very fulfilling as a parent, is how much my children actually push me to grow in my faith and whether inspire or challenge a little bit, or maybe a lot, some depending on the day. But I would just love to hear you speak to that, how being a father has maybe shifted for you your own faith journey or influenced that journey.
Yeah, I think one, it's the questions they do ask. Like, I think sometimes we feel that young people are so much in their phones or in their own world that they're not observant of the things that are happening around them. But I know that there have been times where my boys have asked me questions where I had to like pause and really think about, okay, what's the type of answer I want to give them? And some of those times it's just giving them the answer. Other times it's asking them questions to get a little bit more context behind that. So going through those exercises has helped me kind of do the same with my own faith. I know that there are times where they've wanted to be more involved in different aspects of the church that maybe weren't necessarily comfortable for me, whether it's areas of social justice or community or whatnot, and an experience that they were interested in. And so therefore I was like, okay, I gotta get you there. And then I'm there and I'm like, oh, you know what, this is kind of nice, or this is something that feeds me in that regards too. And then even with their own struggles, not just questions about the faith, but times that they've struggled going to church or struggled with a homily or struggled with a person or a group of people that maybe are associated with the church, it's given us a chance to say, okay, why do we do this, right? Why do we go to mass every Sunday? Like, why is it important that we sometimes force ourselves to get up and get dressed and go to a holy day or whatever it might be in that regards? And then we discuss it as a family, and that's been really fruitful. So it's kind of that accountability.
That's a really great way to think about it. So next summer, the church is marking World Youth Day in Korea, the end of the summer. And I was curious whether you've ever participated yourself in World Youth Day, or whether you've talked to people who have. I just thought it would be neat for us to be thinking ahead to that. Like, what kind, how can that kind of experience help someone grow in faith? Could parents be encouraging children to go? Obviously, Korea is a big trip, but I just would be curious to hear your thoughts on it. Have you ever gone yourself?
Oh my gosh, Rita, I've never gone before, but I am going next year. I'm so excited. In fact, I'm working with the Bon Secours, young adults, right down the road in Marriottsville. We're working, Marathon is working with Bon Secours, as well as a couple of other organizations and our archdiocese to bring a group of 40 plus young adults over to South Korea next summer. And so if you've got, in fact, maybe we got to talk offline about your boys joining us and everything, because the only thing is you got to be 18 or close to 18 and up, going over. And yeah, I'm so excited because on many different levels. One, just to participate in this experience I've heard from so many people. But two, there's so many unique and special things about South Korea and the
Oh,
Catholic Church
yeah.
there. I don't know if you knew this, but it was the Catholicism was founded in that country, not from foreign missionary priests, but from students over there who came across documents and books and
No.
studied the faith themselves. So it was a little reckless at first, but they got their stuff in order. That they're it's a place that's a good mix of innovation, right, as well as as well as faith and tradition. And so it's gonna be really exciting. And then, hey, I'm just a big fan of kimchi and Korean barbecue too.
I mean,
So
just the food alone,
yeah.
but obviously the spiritual aspects. Yeah, no, my son's school is actually taking a group, and he's
Oh,
really
awesome.
excited about the idea of going. So someone's gonna have to get a summer job, I think, to help make that happen. But I think what an incredible experience for those young people. I've never done World Youth Day, but going to a papal mass, I feel like is just a sliver of the taste of being in a space of that kind of magnitude, all those people. But to do that with all those young people, I feel like could be just so joyful and so rewarding on so many levels. So I'm
Definitely.
excited for you. We may have to talk after you get back.
Oh, for sure.
So exciting. Well, thank you, Chris Wesley, for being with us today. For Catholic Review Radio, I'm Rita Bittner. Thanks for listening.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week, available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM, and also WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area. Check us out at CatholicReview.org/CR-radio. Also on Apple Podcasts, Alexa, or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.